You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The Cleveland Browns draft picks are in. Order your jerseys straight from the team. Visit the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zagura, that's him. I'm Vic Carucci. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's a football Wednesday. Appreciate the fact that you're hanging out with us and you're responding to the questions that we put out there at 216-578-0850. The questions that we had, which is grade the Browns draft. Give us your take on what you think they did in the form of a letter grade, if you can do that. Maybe your favorite pick. And what area of the team outside of receiver do you think still needs to be addressed? Let's start this off in Avon Lake with Richard. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'd grade the Browns at a B+. I would have liked for them to do the deal with the Bills at the same time to pick up the wide receiver they got rid of to San Francisco for that same fourth round pick. Then look at the wow factor in that.
Stevie Johnson, you're talking about. Yeah, there could be some wow factor. The only thing I would caution you on, Richard, is you have a head coach in Mike Pettine who knows Stevie Johnson well, having been in Buffalo last year as defensive coordinator, Pettine was. And the mere fact that what you described, as logical as it sounds, didn't happen, tells me that perhaps the head coach just didn't see that value the way maybe some other people did in Johnson, and maybe the baggage that comes with Johnson too, just as a person to kind of manage in your locker room.
Mike Pettine was with him in Buffalo. If Mike Pettine really wanted Stevie Johnson here and he was available, I'm sure this would have been, given the fact that the Browns and the Bills were on the phone a little bit this offseason and a little bit at the draft, a few times that I think that conversation would have come up. I think Stevie Johnson's a declining player. 11.5 yards a catch last year. His touchdowns have declined in four straight seasons. He's best suited to play in the slot, and that's not what the Browns need right now. They need a bigger guy on the outside, and I don't think Steve Johnson quite fits that bill today, as it were. All right, let's go now to John on a cell. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I would probably give it about an A- or a B+, like the other gentleman said. Mm-hmm. I liked every pick that they had, to be honest with you. They dressed all the needs. But I would like a receiver, you know, one way or another.
So would I. And I think that when you look at it, Ray Farmer has said multiple times they're not done. You don't have to play the games till September. So it wasn't something they were going to try to force via the draft if they didn't have to. And that's how it's played out. So I think you're going to see a wide receiver come into this team as the season goes on, as this offseason. Remember, with all of those guys, I believe there are 15 wide receivers, if I'm not mistaken, taken in the first three rounds.
15, yeah, five in the first round.
Five in the first round. Right. A lot of early total investment. Yeah. There are going to be veteran wide receivers that are deemed to be too pricey at some point this offseason that are going to hit the market. Look for the Browns to be active there. We've heard Andre Johnson in trade rumors. Look for the Browns to perhaps see what is available on that route. And there are other free agents out there that are still good and have been productive in this league. Wide receiver will be addressed, and if you wanted my one dark horse in-house, it is Charles Johnson. The guy signed off the Green Bay practice squad, but we got to see him in action. We know that he was very successful at a small school in college.
Right.
We know that he was good on their practice squad, but he's coming off an ACL. We got to see how he does going forward.
Bill in Beachwood on the line with us now. Hello, Bill.
Hi. I love your show. I listen every day.
Thank you.
Did you guys mention that on Monday USA Today came out and declared we had the number one draft of all the NFL?
USA Today ranked it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Their rankings had us first in the NFL on our draft.
As well they should. I like it. Good.
Let me tell you what my point, what Ray I think will do. Nobody's mentioned that every team builds up to 90 players in their training camp, and they all have to cut 40. That's 1,200 players they have to cut to get to 53.
That's a point I'm making. With such a heavy investment in the wide receiver position in this draft, there are going to be some names that everybody recognizes that I think will be on the streets as this situation and this offseason progresses. And I think that that's what Ray Farmer's talking about. It's frustrating. A, we don't know the ultimate We don't know the final deal yet on Josh Gordon. It could be an eight-game situation. Maybe it is 16, but you need a stopgap to get him till he comes back, whether it be halfway through this season or 2015, and I think they are looking for a veteran to do that more so than a rookie. And I think a lot of people are saying, well, why didn't they in the fourth round then get a receiver? Why didn't they do it or in the third round? If they didn't, if they like Christian Kirksey so much better than the rest of the guys on their board, basically at that point you were getting a developmental-ish receiver anyway.
Yes.
Maybe they feel that Charles Johnson is that developmental receiver that they have already on their roster in terms of prototypical size, speed, etc., and that they're going to address it with a veteran who can come in and play, because nobody that you drafted at that point was going to make up for the loss of Josh Gordon. You need somebody who's played in the league and understands how to come out and be competent out wide, as you talked about earlier.
I'll go as far as to say, look, I was, like you, very high on the idea of the Browns drafting a receiver in this draft, but I think we were both pretty much of the same mind that that guy would be picked in the first round. We thought of it more as a first-round pick. We allowed for later possibilities, but if
or
I'm
35
if I'm not,
at the latest.
I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, we were there. And, yeah, we got into the 35 discussion as well. But I was more of a mindset that said – one of the first-rounded graded guys, and the player, at least one or two of the players I had, were both drafted in the first round at the position that I liked for the Browns, and they chose to do the things that they did, which there's no argument in my mind toward going for what they did go for at corner and, of course, at franchise quarterback. And you can only do so many things. Could they have made an additional deal to trade into the first round and get a receiver? That was another way to go. But then I think you start maybe getting off your plan of trying to throw too many assets at
right.
one spot, and now you're going to compromise something else. So if, after all that process, they weren't able to draft the right guard, they weren't able to draft the inside linebacker, how good do you think Ray Farmer and Mike Pettin are feeling about the way this draft came down? I think they would be much more upset, or certainly the head coach would be much, much more upset if there was an issue, and I say issue in the general heading, could be injury, whatever, that would have taken away a starter at linebacker versus a starter at wide receiver, and even though it's the number one receiver. I truly believe that in his heart of hearts, that's how he would look at it.
And no question about it. All right, when we come back, we're going to dip back into that mailbag here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.